أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been disqualified from God's kingdom of special mercy because of his arrogance and because of his defiance. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We humbly turn to God and ask for his special grace and guidance because he is the all-perfect being, he is the all-merciful one, and his special grace and mercy is available to those amongst us who believe in him and who submit to his will. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, scholars, brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing a brief commentary on Dua Kumail. We said it's good to remind ourselves before we start the Dua about the extraordinary nature of this Dua. The fact that the person who makes the request to be taught this Dua is not an ordinary person, is a member of the elite companions of the Prophet, of Imam alayhi salam. The fact that the type of Dua or the title of the Dua is associated with an extraordinary personality, Prophet Khidr. Musa alayhi salam, being an Ulul Azm Prophet, a major Prophet, a Prophet who had been given a scripture, the Torah, even he has been instructed to go and learn from Khidr, and this Dua is also known as the Dua of Khidr. And number three, the fact that Imam alayhi salam gives him private audience in the darkness of the night. Number four, the fact that Imam alayhi salam tells him that there is a specific characteristic of this Dua. If you can manage to recite it once a week or once a month or once a year, if not, at least once in your lifetime, it has the potential to be able to transform the life of an individual, get his sins pardoned, grant him protection, increase his provision. These indicators suggest to us that this Dua therefore is not an ordinary Dua. Next slide, please. When you glance through the themes that are covered in the Dua, we can break them up into paragraphs. We were considering the first paragraph, the summary of which is, next slide, that, O Allah, we invoke you by 10 different names, the summary of which is, O Lord, you know all the problems that we have. وَبِعِلْمِكَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. O Lord, you also have the power to solve all the problems. And number three, not only you know, not only you can, but you want to solve it. You're loving. وَسَأَلُكَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ الَّتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And therefore, my request to you is, I don't want anything material. I want something non-material, something spiritual. I want the highest possible spiritual prize anyone can win in this dunya, and that is proximity to you. Lakini, before I can reach close to you, I recognize, I realize that there are sins which block and prevent my progress towards you. You are not far away from anything. You are close to everything, closer to everything than anything else possible. But it is us, by our own actions or our own character or our own wrong thoughts and feelings, that we distance ourselves. We distance ourselves from you. It is the sinful nature of man. It is the defiant disobedience. It's his rebellion against God that makes him move away from God. Otherwise, God is available and near to everyone. It is inconceivable, it is impossible for me to say, I wish to gain your pleasure and proximity to you verbally, yet internally, mentally, emotionally, behaviorally, I'm doing everything to indicate I want to get your displeasure. These are contradictions. You can't say I want to get close to you, yet I'm doing everything possible to get your displeasure. Sins, the core identity of a sin, is that it is a deliberate, defiant disobedience of God. Because if it is not deliberate, it's by mistake. It's not a sin. Allah will forgive. If it is out of ignorance, Allah can forgive. If it is out of forgetfulness, Allah can forgive. If it is because of overwhelming, unavoidable circumstances, Allah can forgive. مَا غَلَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ أَوْلَى بِالْعُذْرِ. If Allah overwhelms an individual and he's caught in a situation where there's no way out but to drink alcohol to be able to survive, a few drops only. Or only to eat haram food, a few morsels only. Then Allah forgives. Sin, by definition, is an act which I know to be wrong. I know Allah is displeased with it, but I defiantly disobey. If you are, oh Allah, my highest aspiration is to get close to you. I cannot unless I get all the sins removed. And therefore, Allahumma ighfir li al-dhunub allati tahtiku al-'isam, tughayyir an-ni'am, tunzil an-niqam, tahbisu ad-du'a, tunzil al-bala. And if there are sins which are not included in these five categories, Allahumma ighfir li kulli dhanbin adhnabtu wa kulli khati'atin akhta'tuha. Then Imam alayhi salam teaches us to say, Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. I want to get close to you. And the best way to do so is to remember you. Not only verbally, that's the first step. But mentally, second step. But spiritually, third step. But behaviorally, fourth step. And with all particles of my body, fifth step. And in all aspects of my life, sixth step. That's the best way to get close to God. Otherwise, God is not away from anyone. I become a living, breathing, walking, looking, listening, watching, acting, representative, obedient servant of God. That is qurb. Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayk. How? I forget myself. Forget myself meaning that I remember you and you alone. I forget my desires. I'm not interested in these excessive luxuries of the dunya. I only enjoy that which pleases you. I only look at that which pleases you, or listen to that, or behave in the way that pleases you. Next, Imam alayhi salam says, وَأَسْتَشْفِعُ بِكَ إِلَى نَفْسِكَ. We came and stopped our discussion here. And I seek your intercession to get close to you. And I said, we need to remind ourselves about what is this concept of intercession. Next slide, please. And who is qualified to intercede? What is the right type of intercession? What is the wrong type of intercession? And who can be interceded on whose behalf? And how will the intercession work? So in the last session, we discussed about the fact that the Quran emphasizes that any power other than God doesn't have the authority to intercede. Surah Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, chapter 2, ayah 255, summarizes it beautifully. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to him and him alone. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي. Therefore, who is there other than him? يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is it that can have the authority to intercede, to help, to give mercy, to receive and to deliver mercy, except by his permission? So intercession as an expression and a manifestation of his mercy is only possible if the medium or the agent has been approved and authorized by God. Illa bi'idhni. Otherwise, lillahi shafa'atu jami'a. All intercession belongs to God and God alone. Unless, of course, he authorizes. Next slide, please. And therefore, in the Quran, we need to look at this question. Who is qualified to intercede? Allah can grant this power. And like I said, that if you study the Quran, you find that true God is the Supreme Lord. And He is the one who runs the universe. Lakini. He is running the universe in a hierarchical fashion. meaning that the supreme command is issued, and then there are angels, these spiritual, non-physical, psychic entities who are total obedient servants to God and who carry out His activities both in the spiritual world pertaining to our mind and heart and soul, and in the physical world pertaining to our body and the physical laws that govern the universe. This hierarchical command, so the example I quoted was in the case of death, that in Surah Zumar Allah says, when the time for death comes, Allah is the one who separates the soul from the body. One, when the time for death comes, Surah Sajda says, the angel of death separates the soul from the body. And in Surah An'am chapter 6, Allah says, when the time of death comes, not God, not the supreme angel, angels, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُولُنَا, our messengers and angels separate the soul from the body. So who is doing what? The answer is, the supreme command comes from above, to the chief angel, the angel of death, Malakul Maut, under whose subservience are millions and myriads of angels who then carry out the process of the separation of the soul from individual bodies. Example is of death. Same thing goes with life. Same thing goes with rizq. Same thing goes with wahi. Same thing goes with every act of goodness that comes down from above, the hierarchical nature. So also, therefore, shafa'ah, it is going to flow down in a hierarchical fashion. Question, who therefore is qualified to be able to receive this extra mercy and then to be able to transmit and relay it to those below him? These are the qualities mentioned in the Quran. He has to be a person who is wafi. Number two, ravi and marzi and murtaba. And number five, shahid bilhaq. Next slide, please. We discussed this ayah in the last session. We said that one who makes a covenant with God and who makes a wafa, he is truthful to the and committed to the covenant that he has made with God. God has given us an aql, that's a covenant, the ability to be able to judge the right and wrong. God has given us a conscience, the ability to like good and to be able to know spiritually what is good and what is evil. God has sent prophets, covenant. God has warned us about shaitan. We can recognize that a certain act is evil. That's a covenant. Alam a'had ilaykum ya bani adama. And therefore living up to this covenant, therefore will make me qualified to receive and to give shafa'a, would mean that am I regular in my salah, for example, and in my support of the truth and the leaders of the truth, the a'imma alayhimus salam. And therefore, from the beginning till the middle, till the end of my life, have I lived up to my covenant with the truth? Therefore, will I be able to make a statement at the time of death, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and the rest of it, or not? This qualifies me for shafa'a. Next slide, please. The second ayah says that in order to be able to receive and to give shafa'a, we should be able to witness the truth. Surah 43 is Surah Zukhruf. Ayah number 87, Allah says that idols cannot give you shafa'a. However, there are some agents who are empowered to do so. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الشَّفَاعَةِ. You pray and you hope or you fear from powers other than God, and you expect shafa'a from them. لَكِينِ لَا يَمْلِكُ. They have no power. Number one, they are lifeless. They can't hear anything from you. And number two, they're powerless. Even if they could, they can't do anything for you. إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Except if there is an agent other than God who has the ability to witness the truth and therefore to accept the truth and therefore to live by the truth and therefore to be able to spread the truth, this individual can become an agent for shafa'a. And therefore you find in the riwayah that shafa'a is ثلاثة, ثلاثون, the Prophet is reported to have said, يَشْفَعُونَ Allah. Three will ask for intercession from God. فَيُشَفَّعُونَ And Allah will grant them the authority. Oh Allah, give us the power to help and give mercy to our followers. And Allah says, yes, I grant you that power. In Qiyamah. Number one, the prophets, Al-Anbiya. Number two, the ulama. Number three, the shuhada, shahida bilhaq. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ The other riwayat say, it's not only Anbiya, it's also the awsiyah of the Anbiya. Number three, it's not only the awsiyah of the Anbiya, Quran also is a means of shafa'a. It's not only scholars, mu'mineen also can have the power to make shafa'a. Some have the power to make shafa'a for only one individual, some for 10, some for 100, some for the whole family, some for the whole community, some for all the tribe, some for the for as big as the whole of Arabia. That's what the riwayah says. The qabila of Mudar, the whole of it can be interceded by some believers. Indicating that the range and the scope depends on the central characteristic. To what extent has this individual managed to reach the truth and live the truth and therefore to spread the truth to the extent that the others in the family, how in the neighborhood, how in the community, how in the nation have been influenced, impressed, and changed by the truth that they see in the speech of this man, in the behavior of this man, in the thinking of this man. To that extent, they have been touched, and therefore they have been changed. And therefore in the dunya they have received the mercy. In the akhirah it will show itself in the form of shafa'ah. Anything and everything that can become a medium and a means to receive and therefore to transmit mercy of God, these are examples. Anything and anyone who can qualify to become a medium, he will be therefore qualified to give shafa'a. And therefore in the Quran we have that man yashfa'a shafa'atan hasanatan falahu kiflum minha. Whosoever becomes a medium in any act of goodness, he will be rewarded accordingly. Two individuals unknown to each other, you become a medium and bring them together in marriage, for example. But definitely you'll get the thawab if this alliance turns out to be a holy alliance. Whosoever becomes a means in spreading evil will share also in the punishment of that. Shafa'a incidentally works also in the wrong way. It works in the evil also. Whosoever becomes a means and a medium, therefore, to withhold the mercy of God from someone on the day of judgment, his punishment will be double. Next slide, please. The other ayah talks about approval and rida from Allah. Next slide, please. In Surah Taha, chapter 20, in Surah Najm chapter 53 and Surah Anbiya chapter 21. This central condition is repeated again and again. You have to be someone with whom God is pleased. That means your actions are pure, your belief is correct, and therefore your character is virtuous, and therefore you elevate yourself to the state where Allah is pleased with you, and therefore you become a medium in this dunya to be able to affect, to influence, to persuade, to impress others with the truth, to deliver the truth to them, and therefore this will manifest itself in the qiyamah in the form of shafa'ah. So let's consider the example. Chapter 20, Surah Taha, ayah number 109. In order to get the context, allow me to quote a few verses before that. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْصِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا And O Prophet, they will come to you and they will ask you about the mountains. You keep on telling us that there is a day of judgment, and the day of judgment everything will change. Everything? Including these solid, stable, standing mountains? قُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا Tell them, O Prophet, my Lord, the Master, the Author, the authority in this universe has the power to break these mountains into small particles. They'll become just like dust and disappear. يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا You will find this whole earth become flat. صَفْصَفًا There will be no plants, there will be no water.
لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا. You shall find no elevation and no depression. يوم إذن, when that full majesty of the Lord shall express itself, يوم إذن يتبعون الداعي لا عوج له. And then a caller shall come by Allah's command. He shall summon, and you'll find everyone submissively obeying. لا عوج له. No one will be able to resist. وخشعت الأصوات للرحمن فلا تسمع إلا همسا. And then in this flat earth, after the cataclysmic end of this earthly life, you'll find, and after them being summoned, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. You shall find them, all of them, standing before their Lord. Which Lord? The majestic Lord? No. The merciful Lord. He was full of mercy. Moment by moment, in the dunya, He called you, but you ignored. هَيْوَزَكَانِي. If the Lord loves me more than I love myself, and if I am selfish, I think about myself, هَيْوَزَكَانِي. God doesn't think about me more than I think about myself. Every moment, He's sending a message to me, but I'm not listening. On that day, before this merciful Lord, who will now show His majesty, everyone shall be standing. Their voices will be silent. The only thing you can hear is breathing. Breathing. Silent breathing in awe of the majesty of the Lord. وَخَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ فَلَا تَسْمَعُوا إِلَّا هَمْسَا. يَوْمَئِذٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةِ. Oh well, in the dunya I managed to get all my problems solved because I had agents who worked for me. I always sought intercession in the dunya. So immediately Allah responds to that. You have a wrong thought in your mind. يَوْمَ إِذِنْ. On that day when the full majesty of the Lord shall manifest, لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Except for he whom Allah grants that power and authority. وَرَضِيَ لَهُ قَوْلًا. And that individual is someone whom Allah is pleased with. He will be granted the power to make shafa'ah. Question: how do I elevate myself to become radhi and marradhi, with whom Allah is pleased? Martaba, even a higher stage when Allah is pleased all the more. There are these three verses in the Quran which say that if you sign a fealty is an old archaic use of the word allegiance, bay'ah. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah is pleased with you when, you remember the time when you were in trouble, you came out, you wanted to make umrah, and you wore your ihram from the miqat outside Medina with the Prophet. You traveled all the way 400 or so kilometers till you reach Mecca. Just outside Mecca, when the mushrikeen came to know you were coming, they came and blocked you. They said, no access, no entry. And the Prophet said, but I've not come for war. 5 years we've fought wars. The last war, Ahzab, we defeated you. This time we've not come for war. We've not even carried weapons. This is a small dagger. This is for protection. Even that we can take off if you want. Look at us. We've got no weapons for war. We just want to make a peaceful pilgrimage and go back. They said, no. They refuse entry. At that time, it is said that the Prophet sent delegations. One of them was Uthman bin Affan, because he was also related to, and some had some contacts with the mushrikeen. Perhaps his good word could change their mind. And then there were rumors that came that your messenger who has been sent in has been attacked and perhaps he's been killed. And there was anger. And what is going to happen now? And they renewed their pledge of obedience and allegiance to the Prophet there outside. And to consolidate or to refresh or to renew their promise of support and loyalty to the Prophet. Allah liked that in difficult circumstances you could control your anger and you could control your desires and you could subjugate yourself to the cause of the truth, though it was difficult. This is a great achievement for Arabs who are used to war. You provoke them and they're ready to fight. Yet here is a group of people in
5 years time, the Prophet could change them to the point where their anger and their desires were under the control of Allah's will. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. Allah is pleased with such behavior. The ones who made bay'ah to you, O Prophet. The second one, in Surah 58, Surah Mujadila, chapter 58, ayah 22, Allah says, if there is a group of people amongst the believers who, despite making bay'ah with the Prophet, they somehow also establish contact with the aggressive, stubborn, disobedient disbelievers. Somehow they maintain their contacts and links, they share intelligence information to them. Somehow they feel that Muslims may fail. Tomorrow, if the Islamic State falls, where is my future? I better keep my bridges and links open. Those who maintain private, secret contacts with those individuals who have been known to be aggressive against the Muslims, no, Allah is not pleased with that behavior. So, another sign, political approval. Allah only accepts those individuals who do not have political contacts which support and strengthen in a private way those who work against the Islamic society. And finally, in Surah Bayyinah, chapter 98, the last ayah, that Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believed in the truth and who act on goodness, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. These are the best of the people. They recognize the truth and they're living a life of truth. جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنِ. Allah will give them gardens, gardens of Eden. جَنَّاتُ عَدْنِ. تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. You find one of the best pleasures you Arab have is in this dry desert, if you have a fresh supply of water flowing all the time. This is an example for you. But anyone caught in any situation who requires any source of comfort, تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ is an example. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. God is pleased with them and they are pleased with God. Why? How do I reach this state when Allah can accept me? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I believe in God. I come and pray salah. But I want to know, is Allah pleased with me or not? ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Every one of us has to look inside. To what extent, secretly, privately, without anybody watching, do I have a sense of awareness of being in the presence of God? One, I have a sense of respect for God. Two, no, I have a sense of awe. No, I have a sense of fear. No, I have a sense of submission and love for God. That is the secret sign. I've been accepted. Allah is happy with me. Allah has approved me. This is the individual who shall be granted the power to therefore receive and give shafa'ah. Next slide, please. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq to be able to receive and to give mercy here, therefore to make shafa'a there. Lakini, this dua is not talking about us becoming shafi'. The reason I entered into extensive discussion of shafa'a was because, to emphasize this point, oh Lord, I know nobody can do shafa'a other than you, or other than who you authorize. I will go to those authorized mediums. Lakini, if I fail, if they fail, if they cannot bring down your mercy to me, that's the maximum capacity they can do for me. And if they fail, then the last one I will appeal to for intercession is yourself. Astashfi'u bika ila nafsik. Why? Because ashfa'u shafi'in. No. Akhiru shafi'in arhamur rahimin. After everyone has failed in their shafa'ah, there is one final power, and that is God. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.